Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Nova Studio. Since 2003, the place to learn to make and sell handcrafted soap, perfume, and natural body care. Visit facebook.com/ The Nova Studio and tell them Donna Maria sent you. Well, Facebook, right? It's a good thing. And, you know, I sometimes find myself asking whether there can ever be too much of a good thing. And so far, where Facebook is concerned anyway, I have to say no. But I suppose there's a lot of people out there who might be wondering about some of the best ways to use Facebook. And today we're going to sift through some of the clutter and get right to the point. Because after all, as great as Facebook is, when you're a small business owner, unless it's introducing you to the people you need to generate sales, buy your product, well, you're just wasting your time. And that's why I'm excited today to have Dave Kirpin on our show. He's the author of the newly released book, Likeable. Dave is the co-founder and CEO of Likeable Media, an award-winning social media and word-of-mouth marketing firm with triple-digit revenue growth for 4 consecutive years. Dave has been featured on CNBC, ABC, the CBS Early Show, the New York Times, and countless blogs and other media outlets. And he's also, well, likable. And as of today, I credit him for single-handedly making sure that I never misspell the word likable again. Dave, welcome to Indie Business Podcast.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
So, Dave, you know, it's awesome to have all those potential customers on Facebook, 750 million people, 150 million of them in the U.S., 70% of them logging onto Facebook every single day. And I would imagine many of them staying logged in. They just never log out. So, you know, we all think we're likable. And as small business owners, we know our products are likable, or at least we like to think they are. But what does it really mean to be likable, as you use the term on the cover of your book, especially where Facebook is concerned, Dave?
Well, you know, we see huge benefits to social media and Facebook, but the biggest benefit is to be able to showcase your company as a company that is worth talking about and is worth liking, literally and figuratively. And things like being responsive, being transparent, showcasing your personality, these are all things that you can do very, very well with Facebook and demonstrate to your customers and your prospects that you're the kind of company that they would want to do business with. Too often, I go to Facebook pages and I find them, they're deserted islands and they're places where people are just trying to push their products. That's actually not very likable at all. But what would be likable is if I see companies answering people's questions, if I see fun content, fun and engaging content, if I see things that, you know, would make me smile, would make me give my own little thumbs up offline. Those are the sorts of things that, when I visit a Facebook page, get me excited about potentially doing business with that company.
Dave, I was at the Social Fresh conference here in Charlotte, North Carolina, earlier this month, and one of the things one of the speakers said that really stood out to me was, you know, I can't buy my lunch with your Facebook like. So the obvious connection being, you know, a like does not always equal a sale, and yet we want to use Facebook in order to help us generate those sales. So what would you say are the steps in between there that people may be missing in general when they set up a Facebook page and get people to like them but can't seem to convert or need some help converting those likes into sales?
Yeah, great question. Well, the first thing I would say is that you don't expect your likes to all be from prospects. The very first place to go to generate likes is your current customers. They're the first place and they're the best place. It's your current customers that hopefully already like you and are going to want to spread the word about you. And it's Facebook social graph that allows that to happen. So instead of focusing energy on new likes from people that don't know you, I always recommend starting with all your current customers, your current staff, your friends, your current vendors, and all the people that already know you to like you first, and that will organically spread to those people's friends on Facebook. Now, once you've done that, and as you're growing the number of likes you have, your question was, how do I go from like to sale? Well, it's a longer sales funnel than traditional marketing, but you have a great opportunity to go from like to engaged like to educated and engaged like, then to sale. So once people like you, you have the opportunity to talk to them forever. And, you know, we have 20,000 or so likes on our Facebook page at facebook.com/likablemedia. And we've generated lots and lots of sales from that, but never by telling people to go buy our stuff or check out our website. We just share lots and lots of great content, and we engage with people, and we make it a fun place to be. And then when people are ready, when people want what we have, which is social media help, they come to us and they ask us for help, and that turns into a sale. And so, you know, that's our overall philosophy with ourselves and with our clients, and it's worked quite well. It does take some time to do it. You know, it's not going to happen right away.
Well, and that's a really good point too. I love the flow from like to engage like to engage like, and then to sale. That's a nice flow to take us through. Thank you for that. And you mentioned honestly that it does take some time. So can you help very small business owners who don't have a lot of it? Well, I guess most small business owners, no matter how big or small the business is, don't have much of it. But Dave, for people that are running their businesses by themselves or have very little help, what are some of your best tips for helping them maximize their time on Facebook? And Dave, not get sucked in with all the engagement, which is fun, right? And it's fun to do that. But what are your tips on minimizing that so that we can maximize, you know, how it actually feeds into our business?
Yeah. Well, it's a great question, and it's hard because it does take a lot of time. And there, you know, I'm a small business owner myself, and so I realize how valuable time is and how difficult that is.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I would say to do is to commit to a little bit of time each day, first of all, and expect that there is no magic solution, and you will have to commit, let's say, 30 minutes a day minimum for 2 months. All right, so once you've committed 30 minutes a day for 2 months, use that time to create content and schedule it. You can use an app like Hootsuite to schedule your content so that it comes out at the best time each day, and you don't have to be chained to your computer waiting for the right time to update your Facebook page. So plan that content and then schedule it. Consider spending a little bit of time with Facebook ads and learning about the Facebook ads platform, and then executing, you know, running some Facebook ads to drive new customers and new likes to your page.
Mm-hmm.
And then consider either, depending on your budget, maybe a virtual assistant or an intern or another staff person to help out, because it's really the more help you can get, the better. And then, of course, spend a couple hours reading likable social media, and then you'll know all the answers.
Of course. Well, you know, absolutely. I've got to let everyone know that this book is an easy read. It's a fun read, and it's really, really practical. And I think that's not always the case with social media books these days. So, Dave, I want to make sure I mention that, because I have read the book and I do enjoy it. I want to follow up
thank you.
Your suggestion about ads. We've done some shows before on the specifics and how cost-effective it is, but I have this question. When you go ahead and use Facebook's programs to narrow down your focus and get your ad targeted where you want it to be, Dave, what do you think about what to advertise? I mean, do you advertise what you're selling, or do you advertise the community? Do you advertise what the topic du jour or the, you know, the question of the week is? What are your ideas on having an ad that, you know, will draw people in? It's not just come over and buy our stuff.
Right. So,
or maybe that's
what
you should advertise.
No, you should not. I know it's very tempting to advertise to get people to buy your stuff, but the sales funnel is get them to understand who you are, first of all, and then engage with them, and then educate them, and then they will come to you to buy. And so that initial getting their attention point, that you can really have some fun with it. It's all about what is who your audience is and what's in it for them. So for Likeable, we might use a Facebook ad that's targeting a chief marketing officer at a big company, because we work with a lot of big brands, so we might target CMOs, and we might offer them a free webinar on the top 10 ways to leverage Facebook for their business, and they have to like our page in order to get that free webinar. For, let's say, a natural soap company, you might offer a sweepstakes and, you know, give away soap for a year to one lucky person and have people enter to win at your Facebook page. So it's all about creating that compelling initial value proposition for why they should like your page and what's in it for them. And if you communicate the right message to the right target audience, it should resonate.
Excellent tips. And Dave, what are your ideas, or maybe just how have you helped other small business owners actually find the person or the people who can help them do all of this, you know, these Facebook updates? So you mentioned 30 minutes a day, which can be a lot or it cannot be a lot, really, actually, for most small businesses, Dave, depending on the day, right? So we have to be so flexible, and so many things happen that we don't plan during the day. What have you seen other small companies do to find the best people for their help in terms of social media? Because I'll just tell you a quick little story. I had a wonderful person who knew how to use social media on her own. She was really savvy. She did a fantastic job. But after about 3 months, she called me up and she said, "I am so dizzy right now from doing your Facebook status updates and your Twitter updates. And it wasn't really that much. I was doing 90% of them myself." She said, "I don't like social media anymore because, you know, it's just so, you know, I'm stuck on this computer screen and you're telling me what to cut and paste." And I don't mean to make it sound like it was so awful, but, you know, in reality, that's kind of what she was doing. So how can you help people make this fun for the people that are helping them do it?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think that ultimately I really would like to see the small business owner themselves involved to a certain extent, because no one's going to do it as well as you. And I guess I would counter with a couple. I've met a whole bunch of small business owners on Twitter and Facebook that really do love it, and sort of once they've gotten into it and not seen it as a chore but seen it as something fun, where they can get to meet new people and get to learn things, that they've actually really liked doing it. I think that's the ideal scenario.
Uh-huh.
Outside of that, you might want to think about going to a local college and finding a college student that can do an internship with you and learn about your business in exchange for teaching you a little bit about social media and working together with that person to help execute a social media plan.
Good point. And I certainly didn't mean to sound like it was so awful. Like I said, I did 90% of it myself. But I think one of the things that didn't translate, which was I did not expect, was that just because this person liked doing social media on her own did not necessarily mean that she would also like doing it for someone else. And I think that's something people would want to look out for, because it doesn't always translate that way. I mean, if you're hiring somebody that does that for a living, it's one thing. But if you're going for someone that just knows it, there may be some subtle distinctions you have to be aware of as you're moving forward. And once you train somebody, Dave, whoo, that is like, you know, you should take a vacation just after the training, because that's so time-consuming. And, you know, it's a challenge to bring someone new up to speed on your business system, essentially. It's what you have to do.
Yeah, I agree. It's hard, and someone really needs to like your business and like your brand if it's going to work well too.
Mm-hmm.
When we work with a client, let's say 1-800-Flowers, the people that work on it are people that really like flowers and like 1-800-Flowers. Otherwise, it won't work. It's inauthentic. So another place I might consider getting some help is your customer base.
Yeah.
You know, potentially you might have a customer that really loves your product or loves you, your brand, your style, et cetera, and would be willing to work for a product. Maybe they could help you with social media and managing a community in exchange for some free product, and that might be an interesting way to solve this dilemma. It's a hard one. I mean, I am very passionate about developing social media products for small businesses, and you know, my book was really the first way to try to do that, because our company, frankly, can't serve small businesses, you know, in the work that we do, because you know they can't afford us, and you know, so many small businesses are struggling with this, and there's just not a lot of good solutions right now for how to do it on your own or find really well-skilled, qualified help to do it. There really isn't, but I think that college students that are really into your brand, or customers that are really into social media and you already know are into your brand, those are two interesting solutions to investigate.
I love the point that you made about, number one, finding people within your own customer base, and they're usually on Facebook. So you can kill two birds with one stone on Facebook, right? You can be you know, working Facebook for your business in your 30 minutes a day. You can also be keeping your eye out for someone who may show up there a lot and have something to say and really seems to be interested in what you're doing as a possible candidate to help you out. Right, Dave?
Yeah, exactly. You know, why not? And then I should probably distinguish, I don't know how much you've done in the past about Facebook profiles versus pages.
Mm.
But folks should be using their individual profile to log into Facebook and maintain relationships with friends and family, but they really should be, you know, in most cases, using Facebook pages. Those are set up for businesses for their business, so that they never feel like they're bugging friends about it, so they keep those things separate. There's a lot of reasons that it's worthy of keeping those your individual profile from your business page separate.
Very good point. I don't think people can get that reminder enough. I frequently get friend requests from, you know, ABC company to be their friend, and it just seems kind of odd. But,
exactly.
You know, a lot of people have done that before they really knew how important it was to have them separate. I see some personal profile pages for businesses that have 3,000 and 4,000 people there, brand name businesses, not the person as a business.
I know it. Very sad.
You know, it's like herding cats to get those people to move. But I do agree with you that the sooner you get that going, the better. Because when Facebook makes changes, it does them with that distinction in mind. So you could really, you know, hurt yourself in the long run as a business if you don't have a business page for your business.
Exactly.
So, Dave, your book talks quite a bit about thinking and acting like your customer, and you know how to get to the top of the Facebook news feed and why that's so important. So, you know, everybody wants to be at the top. We all want to be recognized and have more people have a chance to see what we've done, but we also want more than an ego boost. So why is it important, besides it makes us feel good, to be at the top of that news feed, and what are some tips to get there?
Great question. So the news feed, what you see in your news feed on Facebook as an individual, is driven by Facebook's EdgeRank algorithm. An EdgeRank algorithm is, in my humble opinion, the single most important innovation of our time in communications. And so let me tell you why. Unlike email, every email, I don't know about you, but I've grown to really not like email. I get email all day, all night, and 90% plus of my email is unwanted. It might not be illegal spam, but it's a newsletter I signed up for that I don't really want. It's reply all that some idiot is insisting upon replying all and bringing everyone on board. It's you know, an email where I'm CC'd that I don't really have to be CC'd on, etc. Well, Facebook's EdgeRank serves up to people only the most important, relevant content in their news feeds. So based on how many likes and how many comments and how close your relationship is with that person or brand, that's what's going to determine whether it shows up in your news feed. And this is a really, really good thing for us as consumers, because this means that all those annoying, marketing-heavy email type content that we get right now via email, we won't get on Facebook. They won't even appear in our newsfeed. But as business owners, That means we've got to be creative about our updates. And you have to remember, every single time you update your Facebook page, you're competing with everybody's friends and everybody's other brands that they like to get to the top of their newsfeed. So if your update says, check out my website for this new soap product that I've got, or this new fragrance that I've got, and nobody likes it and nobody comments on it, it's not even going to be seen. It's not even going to go to the top of anyone's newsfeeds. Whereas if you ask questions, you know, you ask me for some tips. If you ask questions, what's your favorite fragrance, right? That's going to drive more people to comment and to like that update, and that will get you to the top of your people's newsfeeds. If you share pictures and videos, that works very well towards getting to the top of people's newsfeeds. And ultimately, what I say with every single update is, if I were on the receiving end, if I were the consumer, would I click like? Would I comment? Or would I ignore this and see this as a more marketing-driven, spam-driven content? If the answer is no, then I don't send out that update. If the answer is yes, that I would individually click like myself, if this wasn't my company or my client, then that update is worth sending.
Dave, I know it's going to vary from case to case, from day to day, from time to time, but generally speaking, is it better to get a lot of likes or is it better to get a few juicy comments? What's more valuable, more likes or more comments, generally speaking?
Comments are better. Comments are better.
Okay, well that answers that. Okay, so it's not just about getting people to like, as you say, asking a question can get them to quickly say yes, no, or maybe so. And in people's busy schedules, the simpler it is for them to answer right, the better off we are and the more chances we have of engaging them, right?
Right. You know, for instance, a pet store or pet product might literally share a picture of a cat and a dog with the headline, cat or dog, ? And I actually had a small business friend of mine that I said, do that. And he got something like 6 times more comments than he had ever gotten before on an update.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep it simple. Think about what, you know, don't think about it as marketing. Think about it as talking in a conversation. What would drive you as an individual to talk, not like business person to customer?
Good way to look at it. And Dave, for people that, which is what most of our listeners are, people who make most of the products they sell, like, as you know, we have the listeners to this show, they're jewelry designers. They make handmade jewelry. They make soaps. They make lotions. They make these wonderful products that people just use in their everyday lives. And you mentioned earlier an example of, you know, what's your favorite fragrance and things of that nature. But for people who make the products themselves, wouldn't you say that it's, you know, in some ways they have an advantage over people who offer services because, you know, kind of you can't make a service look exciting and colorful as easily as you can make your new, you know, red hot pink bar of soap that's scented like roses look really exciting, right? Because you can show people how you made it with a video and other things. So what can you say to encourage some of these small business owners who do the manufacturing themselves, you know, to sort of, you know, step up there and get out there and, you know, put themselves out there, even, Dave, on a video saying, here's my new soap, here's my new jewelry. What can you do to encourage that to happen? Because I don't see it happening enough. I'd like to see it more.
Yeah. Well, it's all about transparency and authenticity, and people want to connect with other people. And I would much rather buy a soap for my wife if I saw a quick video about how somebody made it than just if I saw, you know, it advertised. And so I definitely agree with you. And, you know, it's all about stepping away from the marketing, again, and thinking about what's interesting, what's great content. And, yeah, you do have the opportunity to use an iPhone to film a 30-second video and share that. It's just not hard, and you can't see it as hard. We have to get out of the idea of needing to hire a big production studio to make a video. I don't want to see a slick video about how your soap is the best. I want to see a cute video of somebody making a soap. And or a kid washing a kid with some soap. I mean, there's just so many fun ways that we can use our own assets, as you said, our own families and friends and customers to showcase our products in fun ways that aren't about selling. It's just about having fun, giving an inside look at what's going on, and becoming more human in that way. And that is a huge advantage that small businesses have over bigger businesses that aren't as able to do that anymore.
That's a really good point, and I love the way you said that. I'd much rather buy the handmade soap for my wife after seeing a video about how it's made than reading about it in an ad. My goodness, if that doesn't capitalize what a great point you just made, I don't know what does. That's really exciting. So, Dave, we're coming down to the last few minutes of our show. Tell us what you think about where Facebook is headed. I mean, you know, we've got Google. We've got Google Plus. We've got Twitter. We've got LinkedIn. And it just kind of goes on and on. It's not going to stop because there's a lot of financial opportunities for entrepreneurs out here. Where do you see Facebook going for small businesses? And what do you see as the best one or two ways for us to invest our time on Facebook as we look to the next 5 years?
Well, I think Facebook has really well defined itself and built itself and isn't going anywhere. I think they'll continue in the global market. So, you know, if your business is global, it's worth continuing to invest more in Facebook. But I don't know how much more it will grow in the U.S. market. It's already got 70% of the U.S. adult market. So that said, it makes sense to spend your time building your presence, spend some dollars and time on Facebook ads, and spend time building that community to the point where it begins to bring you new customers. It takes about 3 months of really working at it, but we've seen lots of great results with companies, even very small companies, that have dedicated the time and resources to doing it right. And there's no shortage of free materials out there, mm-hmm. So to learn more. So as you go about this process, you can read, you know, there are hundreds of great blogs that you can read and articles that you can find to help get better and better at what you do.
Wonderful point. And thank you, Dave, as well, for making yourself available for our show today and sharing some of your tips. For everyone to hear, as you all know, this show is free. We have a sponsor, the Nova Studio, a fantastic do-it-yourself studio outside San Francisco. So, you know, Dave, it's people like you that help to spread this information and make it available for small businesses, and we thank you so very much for that. Dave, tell us where to go to find you online, on Twitter, and also if you have any events or book signings coming up, we'd like to know about them.
Sure, thanks. Well, that's a good segue, because what I was going to say is I'm not only available now for you, I really, one of my core values is responsiveness. And whether you have a quick question that you want to ask at midnight or a bigger question that you want to email me and have me think about, I respond to each and every Facebook message, tweet, an email that I get. So you can, the best way is Twitter, and it's twitter.com/DaveKerpen, DaveKerpen. But you certainly can email me, dave@likable.com, and you can ask us questions on Facebook at facebook.com/likablemedia. You can learn more about the book at likablebook.com, as well as check out our daily blog at likable.com.
Dave, thank you so much for being with us today. I would encourage you guys to go there. It's wonderful websites and Facebook pages. I'm contributing and learning from all of them, and Dave's buzz builders who are so personable and likable. Dave, thank you for being here with us today. I'm very excited to have had you. Get that book, likablebook.com. We'll see you next week right here on Indie Business Podcast. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.